Praise the Lord. Welcome to fellowship again this morning, and we're continuing on the subject of true worship. This time around, we're talking about our worship, a life of worship in prayer, fasting, and giving. Praise the Lord. Let's get into it this morning. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your children who are here gathered. Glory to God. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. You have shed the love of God abroad in our hearts, even by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. We declare, as always, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Inspire our hearts, O Lord, to understand what it is that the Holy Spirit will have us know today and bring to our remembrance as well. Give you, Lord, the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, on the subject of prayer, prayer is something that we must do all the time. And how do we pray all the time? That's the question. When the Bible instructs us, to pray without ceasing, non-stop prayer. How is that possible? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let me just read one or two verses there to us, how that we are instructed to pray and keep praying. And we're going to examine what that really means to keep praying. Rejoice evermore. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. And hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. Faithfully see that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Well, prayer is in many forms, and to make it something that we can do all the time, and that means it's not prayer on your knees only, neither is it prayer in the closet only, but it's a posture of prayer, no matter where we are. It could be a short prayer, it could be a long prayer. But we must be in prayer, in constant prayer and communication with the Lord. Sometimes you have to do, a quick prayer. And sometimes you have to do a determined, prayer. You have to battle. You have to wrestle. Sometimes you use your faith and just say one or two words and move on. Whatever it is that the Lord moves you, or however he moves you to pray, you do it. There's a story here in the book of Nehemiah, the first couple of chapters. I'm sure several people, perhaps even all of us, know that story. Nehemiah was distressed because they were in captivity. And he was distressed about the situation of, you know, Jerusalem, Israel, etc. So, and he was the cupbearer. And as a cupbearer, he's the one supposed to cheer up the king, so you yourself can't be sad. But he had a sad countenance on that day. But it was in his heart to ask something of the king. And the king looked at him and said, "Wherefore is thy countenance sad, seeing that thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart." This is in Nehemiah chapter 2. Then I was very so afraid, because see, you can't be like that. Otherwise, the king might have you killed if you are supposed to be the cupbearer to cheer him up. And I said unto the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire?" Then the king said unto me, "For what dost thou make request?" So this is the part I want to highlight. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Now let's see, how did Nehemiah pray to the God of heaven in this case? And I said to the king, if you please the king. The king asked him a question, and he had to answer it. And I prayed to the God of heaven here. I mean, how long did he pray while waiting to answer the king's question? Did he drop down to his knees? Did he say, "King, hold on, I gotta go into my closet and I'll be right back"? Or what exactly did he do? Well, here's one kind of prayer, which is a fleeting moment, just like that. In his mind, he just connected and said a short prayer before he gave that answer. And so that's one kind of prayer. It might have just been a few seconds, because the king asked, he's standing right there, king asked him a question, and he's going to give a response, and before that response, he prayed. And that's a good lesson for us. If we pray sometimes before we open our mouth and say something, we might, you know, more often, you know, say the right thing rather than the wrong thing. So that's a quick prayer. Well, is it always a quick prayer? There are other long prayers that are recorded in the scriptures. We're trying to show you this one here, perhaps the shortest prayer that we know. We don't know how long he prayed, but sure, it would have been very short. There are other long, drawn-out, dragged-out prayers in the Bible. I'll take a look at some of them. There are other prayers also that lay down a case before the Lord. And it could be long sometimes. So it's not the length or the brevity of it that matters. It's the substance. In the book of James, we are told the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, let's look at some fervent, effectual prayers and see how they did it. We'll look at, including even Jesus Christ, we'll look at, you know, some of his prayers. But, you know, before we get there, let's look at a few others. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, it says in the book of James chapter 5 and in verse 16. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So talking about prayer as a part of our working with God, we've already established 3 days ago or so when we started here on this series that true worship is our life. It's a way of life. Prayer is a critical part of that. And there are different elements of prayer, which I will try to get to today. But first, I'm looking at how people traveled. Some people traveled in prayer. Some people made quick prayer, you know. So we've seen that in the scriptures. We saw this one quick prayer. We've seen other quick prayers in the Bible where people just ask God something quickly in the moment. We've seen where people wrestled with God in prayer. Let's take a look and see which might apply in whatever situation that we are in. Now, there is a story that I love to tell where Elijah was the principal participant in this case. And I'm sure everybody knows the story. God had promised Elijah that there would be rain, the heaven had been shut up for over 3 years. And after all the drama that he did with the false prophets and all, he said, "I hear the sound of abundance of rain." I hear the sound of abundance of rain. He told his servant to go look for the prayer. To go look for that rain. But before he did that, he sent Ahab away. He said, "You go eat and drink. And something great is coming. The rain is coming." But he himself did not go up to eat and drink. He himself went up to Mount Carmel and prayed. What kind of prayer? Well, let's talk about it for a minute. One thing that we do see in this story is that he had a promise from God. So that's important. We've been talking about, making sure we have a promise for the basis of our prayer. Well, he did have a promise from God, and it was time for him to cash in on that promise. How is he going to cash in? Well, let's read a few verses here, starting from verse 41 of 1 Kings 18. "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. But Elijah, on the other hand, went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down to the earth and put his face between his knees. Said to his servant, Go up now and look toward the sea. And he went and looked. They said, There is nothing. And he said, Go up again. So 7 times he did that. Now, the elements that we want to bring out in this particular story was, number one, he did have the promise, so that's good. And number two, he had to pray through and contend for that promise in prayer. Just because God promised it doesn't mean you go and eat and drink. This is a great example. He put his face between his knees, agonizing in prayer. James recorded it later and saying, Elijah prayed fervently. He agonized in prayer. And nothing happening, even though God already promised it. So this is something to help us along in our faith. God promised it. He knew it. He saw it. He heard it in the spirit. But yet nothing was happening. 7 times. And this particular one was not short, quick prayers because, James talked about it later that he was, he was really traveling in prayer. So why should we pray like this when God had already promised something? Why don't we just sit and relax? Well, one song that we played at the beginning of this room today said, Nothing's going to happen if you just sit and relax. You got to pray that promise down, even though God already promised it. Sometimes you got to still battle and contend for the thing in prayer. So Elijah, 7 times, and each time the servant came back with the same answer. There is nothing. I see nothing. The heavens are brass. Nothing happening. And so he prayed some more. And God already said it, but he had to keep praying. He prayed some more. Send the man back. He knew in his heart it's coming, but he's not seeing it. So he kept praying. And so this is an illustration of how we must handle situation. God promised something. You know your heart is coming, but you are not seeing it. Then you should continue praying. This is the story right here. Continue to pray for it. Continue to believe God. Maybe even intensify in prayer. You know, so, and he did. And finally, you know, after about 7 times, the man goes up. At the 7th time, he says, "Ah, I see a little cloud, you know, arising out of the sea." Prior to that, it was a clear sky, nothing, no semblance at all of rain. This time around, I said, "Well, I see something." Elijah said, "That's good, that's it, that's good, that's it, right there. That's what we've been waiting for." And so now he knows it's there. But look at all the things he had to do to pray that promise through and down and pray through that promise. And even when it started, when that promise came through, it was not initially a downpour. And so that's another element to consider. Even when the promise eventually came through, it started very little at first. But Elijah, he knew it was coming because he knew the word of the Lord and he had done his own part in praying it through. And so, you know, this is the lesson we must learn. When you know the word of promise, you do your own part. You stay at the post of prayer, at the post of faith, believing God. Now, if you have to pray 1 time, 2 times, 7 times, 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 months, I don't know how long it will take, but you stay right there with it. Because you already know God promised it, and you're praying, but it doesn't seem like it's appearing. You stay right there with it. And when it starts, at first, it may not even start with a torrential downpour. In this case, it didn't. But eventually, it did. So, that's one element that we must learn in prayer. Praise the Lord. There's a story that Jesus told in Mark chapter 4. And I want to just read one or two verses, from starting from verse 26. "So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow. He knoweth not how, but the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself." Now, this part is what I want to connect to this process of prayer and waiting. He said, you know, this man that's planting the seed and doing all this stuff and waiting for it, well, when he eventually gets something from it, it wasn't all at once. It was first the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. So first the blade might be like this little cloud that the servant saw. But, you know, between that cloud and formation of more clouds for rain, it might have taken some time. We don't know how long. Well, between this, the blade and the air, there may be some time. And we know there is some time. I mean, we've seen it happen. You know, I experimented with this when I was a kid. We did experiments of planting corn and watching how it grows and so forth. You know, so at first it may look like it's a little thing, but then it begins to grow. You know, so don't be patient when it is just a cloud. And don't be patient. Don't be impatient is what I want to say. Don't be impatient when it is just a cloud. And don't be impatient when it is just the blade. Stay with it in prayer. It is coming. And sometimes, and we've talked severally on, you know, how we must persist in prayer. Keep on believing God and holding on to God until you get what we are believing God for. So there are many, many ways that, you know, we can do our prayer. Praise the Lord. We do our prayer. Sometimes it's short. Sometimes it's long. Sometimes you have to wrestle even with God in prayer. And, it might take something out of us, but you've got to determine what it is that you want from the Lord. There's a story in Genesis 32 of Jacob wrestling with the angel. Genesis 32 verses 24 to 30. And he said, "Nobody's going anywhere until you bless me." That's a good story. Are we determined? Can we be like that as well? Really get a hold of God in prayer and stay right there. So these are the various, you know, types of prayers that we see. It could be a short prayer, and it could be a long prayer. It could be a prayer of intercession. Paul talked about it. You know, first of all, prayers should be made for all men. You know. And so forth. And then he said, we should lift up holy hands. We should pray. You know, we should make prayers, intercessions, and, and giving of thanks and so forth. That's all kinds of prayer. Here's one prayer of intercession that we saw from Abraham in Genesis 18, where he stood before God. You can read verses 23 to 33 of Genesis 18, and he began to intercede in prayer. And God revealed to him that he's going to go over to Sodom and Gomorrah and judge the place. So Abraham knew his nephew was over there. He stood before the Lord in prayer and said, "Wow. Is God the judge of the whole earth? Will he do this thing? Destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose you find 50 people in there. Will you spare the place for 50? God said, "Yeah." And so Abraham thought about it and said, "Well, but, okay, what if it's not 50? What if there's only 45? God said, "Yeah, for 45 I would not destroy the place." And then he went on and on. One time he himself got nervous that, "Look, I may be stretching this thing a little bit." He said, "Now, Lord, I pray, you know, don't be angry with me. Let me say, what if it's 30 and not 35? He said, "Well, I won't do it." "Okay, now, hold on now, Lord. What about it's 20 and 25? And so on, 25, 20. He started counting down. It was a great lesson in intercessory prayer and making your case. And the Lord was just patient with him like that. You know, finally, I don't know whether it was, you know, because he gave up or because the Lord knew that there would not be up to 10 people there. But at some point in time, you know, that engagement in prayer stopped. And then God walked on. But in the moment, we saw how he stood with God in prayer and made his case. And God patiently listened. So that's another kind of prayer. What about even when we are praying the kind of prayer that Jesus prayed in John chapter 17? Powerful, powerful prayer. So many elements there. He starts out by, acknowledging to the Father that the hour has come. And then he began to pray so many things. And if you look at the elements that are in that prayer, it is great. We can learn from it. You know, Father, the hour has come. What hour? There was something that Jesus knew was about to go to the cross. He knew it. And by revelation of the Holy Spirit, we also can know that the hour has come for the thing that God has promised. You know, he's promised us many things on this platform. Holy Spirit can reveal to you that the hour has come. You know? So, well, the hour has come, Lord. And now it is time for you to do that which you have promised. Hallelujah. Some people call it season. The season is here of your breakthrough. The moment, you know, that we have been waiting for. Whatever it is, you come to God with that assurance. And he began to pray this incredible prayer that he laid out here. Now, this one was not a short prayer. In fact, it was a long prayer. He laid out a lot of stuff. And he prayed for us, you know, prayed his heart out for the believers, not just the ones that he had around him at the time, but he said, I pray not only for these ones, but even for others who will later hear about me through their preaching. So he prayed for everybody. It was a long prayer. And that particular prayer gives me confidence to know that it is done. Because, you know, the Lord prayed for us like that. The Father definitely heard and answered those prayers. So everything that Jesus prayed in that prayer, great, great, great things for us to have confidence in. You know, there are other times when we must use various elements in prayer. Praising the Lord, for instance. Praising the Lord as part of our prayer. Even David was a man that knew how to do that more than anybody else. Enter into his courts, he would say, with praise. Come before him with thanksgiving. I mean, popular sayings throughout the Psalms. But let's read just a few of how David used to say it. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Psalm 101. You know, he says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, not we ourselves, and so on. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise. So let's talk about praise for a minute. That's an element of prayer. And that's a, you know, prayer is an element of our true worship. And praise is a powerful element of prayer, you know. And also the art of literally bowing, worshiping the Lord, which we know is worship. Describe that that's an integral part. That's not the only part, but it's an integral part. And, you know, we should also incorporate that at times that the Holy Spirit will lead you to incorporate that into your prayer. Praise the Lord. You know, so David always loved to praise the Lord. I mean, he wrote a lot of psalms. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Psalm 95, you know, and verse 6. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. But that's an art that is now fading away. You know, but let's not forget that. You know, let's kneel before the Lord. Yesterday I was talking about God is our Father, but he's also our God. See? So we come to him boldness when we need something from him as father, son kind of thing. Jesus introduced that. But also, never forget that he's still God. And we need to worship him. A life of praise. A life of worship. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in our mouth. It's a powerful subject of praise. As a matter of fact, Neil Frisby wrote something about it. He called a dynamic subject of praise the rewarder of youth. Said it's the secret place of thunder wherein the Lord answers back. Now, praise. He's talking about praise. He said the Lord will answer you back in the place of thunder, Psalm 81 and verse 7. By praising him, listen to this, you will receive honey out of the rock, satisfying your soul and giving you a healthy body. Now, praise is what he's writing here. And this is a heavenly anointed writing. He says, you know, we call it the anointed scrolls. Now, this one was on the subject of praise. Some of you might know this writing, scroll number 70. And he said, through praise, you can even have a healthy body. Isn't that beautiful? You know, praise will drive out infirm spirits and loosing the bones. Wow. Heart trouble will not overcome you. And should you have it, it will leave you through praising the Lord. So praising the Lord continually will make the heart to be happy and the body will be joyful in health. Your eyes will sparkle and your vision will be plainer. Now, we got to combine that with eating lightly. So by eating lightly and praising him, you will intensify these things even more. You know, also, even the dullness of ears will hear sharply. And all of these are the benefits of praise. Say, dullness of ears will hear sharply. I love this one. Say, even your complexion and your hair and your lips will take on a beautiful glow through praise. Wow. You know, some of those cosmetics can't touch this. Praise will give you a better look, better glow than your cosmetics. That's what he's saying here. Praise the Lord. Praising the Lord in intervals will drive back all demon powers from you. You'll be able to relax and rest in peace in the presence of the Lord. By praising him often, you'll be covered with a bright Shekinah glory. I love that part. We even sing a song out of that. You know, when you praise the Lord often, there'll be an aura around you. You may not see it, but I guarantee you, the spirit world sees it. It's right there. The glory of God that will be upon you. It's called his bright Shekinah glory. Whether you can see it all the time or not, you will even begin to feel it by the glory of his presence. And demons cannot break through this anointing very easily as long as you continue to praise him in confidence. Praising renews the youth. It renews your strength. It gives faith and allows the Holy Spirit to speak. Now that's praising the Lord. Praise exalts the Most High and allows his Spirit to flow through us, providing a ministry for each of us according as his Spirit wills it in our own lives. Now, he said even prosperity. It's as close as one's lips if you know how to praise the Lord. No matter what confronts you, you will win. Glory to God. Even a kingly anointing will be present when you are in a life of praise. Well, some of you have experienced it. In fact, the time that we feel the moving of the Spirit the most, everybody will tell you, is when you can really get lost in praises, you know. And there's a reason for it. I mean, why is it that there are so many benefits in praising? Well, it's because that's why we were created. So praise the Lord. The spirit of prayer, he said, is fine. But when you add praise to it, it's like a turbo boost. Now, those are my own words. Praising the Lord within your prayer is like a turbo boosting of your prayer. You know, prayer needs a little help sometimes. You know, apart from faith and all of that, another helping hand for prayer is your praise. We saw how Jehoshaphat did it in 2 Chronicles 20. He put the praises ahead of the victory. You know, we read the other day in Acts chapter 16, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They were in the prison and they sang praises unto God. Sometimes those praises can shatter bars and gates. And we saw that praising the Lord shattered those bars and gates. And the angel of the Lord came down upon them. Praising the Lord is what they were doing. Hallelujah. It brought them deliverance, even physical deliverance in that situation. There are many blessings in praising the Lord. And we should construct our prayers in such a way that it's not just about asking for this and asking for that. You know, if we can develop a prayer pattern that is filled with praises of the Lord will take care of many things. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91 verse 1. And he says, well, that secret place is in praising the Lord. I call it communion, the place of one-on-one with the Lord. You know, and in that place also, you are repeating his word in prayer. Now, we've talked about praying the word of God. We've talked about that severally on this platform. Praying the word of God. But when you mingle that with praises, it's a powerful, powerful thing. You know, when you have the confidence that God hears you, you know, just like 1 John tells us in chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, you know, say, look, we have confidence. And when we are praying, he's hearing us. Well, if you have that confidence, then you know that you are going to get what you are asking, right? And then why don't you just praise him then? Just praise the Lord. Demonstrate your faith by praising the Lord. Jehoshaphat certainly did. The word of the Lord came that God will give you victory over these three great armies that seem to completely overwhelm you. You will not even need to fight. God will fight for you. But here's what you must do. Tomorrow, you go down and meet them in a certain place. Or give them strategy. And as soon as he heard that, he worshipped. Bow down and worship, and commanded all of Israel to worship the Lord. And he, you know, consulted among the people, said, look, I want the people that know how to praise the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. I call it do the praise. The people that know how to do the praise, I want them, you know. And he said, look, put them in front. See, that's someone that had confidence in what God already said. So we can incorporate all of that into our prayers. You know, sometimes also when you are praising the Lord, sometimes it's gently singing. Hallelujah. Sometimes softly. Sometimes it's shouting the praise. You know, shout to God with a voice of triumph. Whatever it is, but we must have a heart of praise. You know, have a heart of praise. And, you know, this is one thing that draws the Lord. You know, because the scripture says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22 and verse 3. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Now, if that is his place, the place of his habitation, then you ought to do it more, because that draws him in. That's what we're saying. Two things we know that draw the Lord in like that. Praise is one of them. Psalm 22 verse 3 tells you, your praise will draw him in. But the other one, Jesus explained in John 14, which I've talked about multiple times. You know, he said, Lord, when you love me, if you say you love me, keep my commandments. And then if you keep my commandments, I'll come to you. That draws him in as well. But your praise also draws him in. And sometimes the prayer must also take a form of declarations. You know, it's not all the time that we will pray a prayer of just say, Lord, you know, if it be thy will. There was a man that thought that. The story is in John chapter 8. He came, he wasn't even sure of whether it was God's will to heal him or not. He came to Jesus and said, you know, I know you can heal me, but I'm not sure if you want to. That's almost like, that's how that sounds to me in my ears. I mean, that's really something to think about. You know God can heal you, but you are not really sure if he's going to do it. You know. So, what does that mean? Well, it means if you say in your heart, well, you know, I know he can heal me, but I'm not sure if it's his will. And if you pray like that, well, you know, I think we should correct that kind of prayer. You might as well be wasting your time. You pray like that. If God heals me, fine. If not, fine. Well, that's a waste of time. You know, Jesus says, I will be thou clean. Because the man said, well, I don't know whether it's your will or not. Let's read the story in Matthew chapter 8. I think I might have said John, but it's Matthew chapter 8. Let's read the story here in Matthew chapter 8. This man said, when Jesus would come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. There was a leper, came out, worshipped him. Now, the worship is good. You know, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And this man, he wasn't sure whether it was God's will for him to be in that sickness or if it was God's will for him to be healed. Thank God that this kind of story is in the Bible, because that settles it. You know, because sometimes people say, well, maybe it's the will of God, or maybe it's not the will of God. Look, I wish above all things, 3 John 2, that you prosper and be in health. My thoughts towards you are for peace and not for evil. Jeremiah 29:11, all these things. We have to establish this in our hearts. So when we pray, we come with confidence. Not saying, well, maybe he will heal me, maybe not. We come with confidence. We know he will. We know it is his will. Now, you may not see it at first, just like Elijah didn't see the thing that God already promised, but he kept believing and kept praying for it. You know, so whether you see it immediately or not, doesn't mean it's not God's will. You stay right there. Establish it in your heart that it was God's will to start with. And then you stay right with the prayer. Praise the Lord. Now, also, there are times the Holy Spirit will reveal to you how to deal with a particular situation. And you got to deal with it the way he reveals it to you. And there's a story here. I want to read a portion of this story to you. This is also another way that we pray at times. We have to declare certain things and deal with certain situations. You know, the Lord may reveal something to you. There's a powerful story in Ezekiel chapter 37. There was a situation, you might call it a situation that had been long term like that. Because the bones were very dry, you know, dead men's bones, been there for a long time. I mean, they had even been separated. And it just been like that. All the flesh had, you know, been vanished away. It was just bones left. And the bones were even scattered all over the place. And when the Lord showed him that vision, he took him to that place and he saw it. And the Lord asked him the question, can these bones that have been like this for so long, can they live again? You know, so this is another element that of prayer where the Holy Spirit shows you what to do about the situation. There might be a situation that's not changing, chronic, I won't call it that. You know, the Lord might show you what to do. Of course, this man wisely said, well, Lord, thou knowest. And so the Lord told him what to do. See this situation of these dry bones that you think have no life in them? I'm going to tell you how to change that situation. And the Lord gave him what to do. And he did it as the Lord gave it to him. So that's also an element of prayer. The Holy Spirit might show you how to pray that situation. He might show you those bones coming together. He might show you, flesh coming back onto them. He shows those to you in prayer. And then you pray the thing he already showed you. In fact, Jesus said the same thing. John chapter 16 and 13. He said, how be it the Spirit of truth when he is come? You know, among many things that he will do, well, he will show you things to come. Well, the way I see it, in fact, it was a day that the Lord gave me that revelation out of that verse some years ago. I was like, powerful. My goodness. So the Holy Spirit showed me the answer to my prayer even before I prayed or while I'm in prayer. And show me, you know, you may be praying for someone that is sick. The Holy Spirit shows you that they are healed. That's showing you things to come. You know, maybe you're even yourself, you know, I mean, somebody can have a condition right now. Holy Spirit shows you that you are healed, right? And you may be in a wheelchair today. Holy Spirit shows you getting out of that wheelchair. You may be in a situation, a diagnosis of kind or some sort. Holy Spirit showed you that you're healed. Then you latch on to that because now he has shown you what to come. So Holy Spirit shows you things to come. He has now showed you. Then you latch your faith onto that. Praise the Lord. And then he will tell you the words. He might even show you the words. Like he told Ezekiel here, he said, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them. So in this case, the Lord actually gave him what to say. O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the word of the Lord is the only thing that can change situations. That's right. You know, word of the Lord is always a game changer. You know, you have to use the word of the Lord. Can't use anything else. You can use anything else to psych up yourself and do all of these things, you know, and so forth. But when you are dealing with those situations, you got to speak the word of God upon that situation. Prophesy upon these chronically dead and dry bones that have been like this for a long time. Prophesy upon the bones. That's what can change the situation. So that situation in your life, whatever it is, you may be praying for your child. You may be praying for yourself. There may be a situation that has lingered for a long time. Holy Spirit show you what you need to do. And it could be why you are searching the scriptures. Holy Spirit give you a promise for that thing. And then you use that word upon that situation. It says, so, you know, I prophesied as I was commanded. You know, the Lord told him, prophesy. And look at all the things the Lord said. Thus said the Lord unto you, dry bones, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. The Lord actually laid it out. And you know, the Lord always, the Holy Spirit does that. He will tell you what is coming. You know, most of the time, these stories, great stories that we read in the Bible, it'll be like, tomorrow. That's what it was told to Jehoshaphat. Tomorrow, you go down, you know, the wilderness of Tekoa and do this and this and this. And sometimes again, it'll be tomorrow, like Elisha was prophesying in 2 Kings. He said, tomorrow, by this time, you know, things will be so cheap that it'll be sold like this and so on and so forth. Why is it always tomorrow? Why not today? Well, sometimes the Lord will put it out there because today, when you hear the word of God about tomorrow, you can worship. Hallelujah. That's exactly what Jehoshaphat did. You heard the promise of God that's coming for tomorrow. Then today you worship. So that's why many times the Lord will say tomorrow. You know, not today. He can do it today too, but sometimes he will say tomorrow. You know, and he will give you something. And he always tells what he's going to do. And he's telling the bones here what he's going to do. But he's using your mouth. You are the one that's going to change that situation by the word of the Lord. You're going to change the situation yourself. But it is the word that is in your mouth that you're going to use to change that situation. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And there was a great noise and a shaking. And behold, the bones began to come together, bone to his bone. And these bones were scattered, remember. You know, and I beheld the sinews, just like he prophesied. Said the sinews began to come upon the flesh. The skin began to cover them. But there was still no breath. But remember, the Lord said, and I will put breath in you. You know, so there might be stages in the way the Lord brings the victory or the restoration. You know, but the Lord, the Holy Spirit will show you what to do. He showed him the first time, prophesied it. And they came together and the flesh started to come. It was a great sight. It was an amazing sight. Never seen anything quite like it. Bones started to come up. I mean, come together. bones, all kinds of bones, but no bone of one person went to the wrong bone of another person. They came together as they should be, bone to his bone. And then, but the Lord said, look, there will be breath in you too, but at first there was no breath. So the Lord told him again, you know, he said, well, I want you to prophesy again, but this time not upon the bones. You already did that. Well, this time I want you to prophesy unto the winds. And I call it bring in the cavalry. You know, call in the special forces. Now, God has these things in place. If you understand how to do it, bring them in. Hallelujah. You know, speak to the winds. You know, bring these things in. And prophesied unto the winds. Say, let the winds come from this place, come from that place, and do all these things. And my goodness, you know, he said, thus saith the Lord, prophesy and say to the wind, come from the four winds, O breath. See, and breathe upon this slain that they might live. And I prophesied again as he commanded me. And so using the word of God in prayer, this is another way we pray in order to change that situation. Praise the Lord. And if you know how to do this thing here that God is showing Ezekiel, there will nothing get away from you in prayer. Because you will always find some word from the Lord to use to change that situation, no matter how chronic it had been. Speak that word over that situation. And, you know, you begin to see some changes. Well, God will show you how to bring in the cavalry also. Bring them in. Come on in. You know, wind and everything. You know, blow up on these things. You know, and sometimes it's in stages like that. Even Jesus, we saw, you know, one time he called Lazarus out of the grave. When he came out of the grave, he was still bound. I told him, well, I'll lose him. You know, so he called him out of the grave. But yet there was another thing that had to be done. And God will show you things that must be done. Holy Spirit will show you what's coming. And you incline your mind to the Holy Spirit together with him, using his word in your mouth. That's how you do it. There's no other way to change any situation. That's it. It's the word of God. That's it. Game changer. Situation changer. You know, you change that situation, but you must use his word in prayer. So we see many ways that we can use a prayer. Prayer is like, look, if you don't have it, even some people say, prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. Well, I say prayerless Christian is a lifeless Christian. You don't even have life if you don't pray. But we got to pray 24/7. We're always praying. Our minds are connected with the Holy Spirit like that. You know, sometimes short, sometimes long, sometimes, you know, prayer of intercession, sometimes prayer of, you know, thanksgiving, sometimes a prayer of whatever. You know, but we do all these prayers. It's a part of our lives. When we mingle it with praises, it becomes so powerful. And then there are times that you have to mingle it with fasting too. Remember the topic we're on is prayer, fasting, giving. You know, there's a story in Matthew chapter 17. It's in another place also, but at least in this place, you know, some of the disciples could not cast out a devil. And they, you know, they asked Jesus, well, why couldn't we do it? And Jesus said, number one, you know, because of your unbelief. Yeah. So let's read the story in Matthew 17. And when they were come to the multitude, now this was this, they had been on this Mount Transfiguration experience. They come down and so forth. You know, and now it wasn't all the disciples, just three of them went with him, and he come back down, and there was a certain man kneeling down to him and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. Well, he's a lunatic, so vexed, and oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water, and the devil trying to kill him. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Wow. And look at the answer of Jesus to that indictment on the disciples. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? I mean, I've been trying to teach you these things. I mean, how long? You're supposed to be able to do these things already. Well, and how long shall I suffer you? I mean, I'm going to put up with all this, you know, not knowing that you can do these things. Jesus knew they could do it, but they themselves didn't know. And there were some blockers. Jesus is going to reveal some blockers here. And he said, well, bring him to me. So, and he rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. So after the people had left, the disciples now came to Jesus and said, well, tell us, Lord, why could we not cast out that devil? We've cast out devils before. Why could we cast out this one? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. So we see that when we pray, we must believe. Matthew 21:22 says, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. The opposite of that is, you know, if you ask anything in prayer, and you don't believe, you shall receive nothing. That's the opposite of that. All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing. And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. So now these disciples had unbelief, even though they've been around Jesus, even though they've seen the thing before. Well, in this particular case, they had unbelief. You know, they really didn't believe that it could happen. And then Jesus said, look, if you had faith, you know, just as small as a mustard seed, right? You can use that faith to remove mountains. And it will obey you. And so forth. But he said, nevertheless, you know, that how be it, and that nevertheless, how be it, this kind, as a particular kind, you know, that goes not out except by prayer and fasting. And you know, the disciples, they love to eat. But Jesus was defending them and he said, why do disciples of Pharisees fast and your disciples eat all the time? Jesus was defending them. Well, can the children of the bride chamber fast when the bridegroom is with them? No. But I tell you, that's the days are coming when the bridegroom shall be taken from them. In those days shall they fast. So Jesus was defending them. They were happy when Jesus was defending them, but now they're powerless. And Jesus revealed something powerful here. Sometimes you got to accompany the prayer with fasting. Let's talk about fasting a little bit. I may talk about that some more in the future or later, but I want to just draw our attention to fasting. Sometimes we've seen in the scripture, personal fast, corporate fasting, fasting that's acceptable and fasting that is not acceptable. Isaiah 58 is a great lesson and chapter on fasting. You know, people say, wherefore have we fasted and you did not hear? I mean, we've afflicted our soul and yet nothing happened. And they ask the Lord, they challenge the Lord for that. You know, the Lord is going to help them. You know, that's what they said. Let's read it. You know, he says, cry aloud and spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, Isaiah 58, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. I want to know the Lord. You know, a nation that's as though they were a nation of righteousness. Yeah. You know, and they, so as though they will not forsake the ordinance of God. Yeah, they ask of me ordinances of justice. They delight in approaching to God. And then they say, well, wherefore have we fasted? We do all these things. You know, I've kept your ways. I've heard it even said on this platform, you know, keeping your ways. I'm doing all these things and so forth. Why? You know, so why have we fasted and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? You know, Sammy said, I afflicted my soul, humbled my soul with fasting. Why have we afflicted our soul? And thou takest no knowledge. Well, he gave him an answer. He said, behold, in the day of your fast, you still find pleasure. So that's a blocker. When you are doing consecrated fasting, pleasure and the things of the world can be a blocker to that fasting. You know, and all these exact all your labors and so forth. You know, that's the time that you are still going about doing all other things that have nothing related to the reason you are fasting about. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to quit your job. Now, we already said that the other day, that there are different kinds of, you know, fasting. There's fasting where you enter into your closet, you go into the desert or whatever, you cut away from everybody. That's not always possible because you still have to do what you have to do. And even Jesus said, when you fast, don't let the people around you know that you are fasting. That means sometimes your fasting is in the middle of doing other things and people can see you. You know, so, but he said, look, you know, when you fast and you do all these other things and your mind is nowhere near the fasting, you fast for other motives, you know, you fast to afflict with the feast of wickedness, and all different kinds of motives. He said, look, this kind of fast is not going to cause your voice to be heard on high. This is very important. You know, he said you fast for strife and debate. You smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Or you fast to be seen of men and so on and so forth. Well, that's not going to cause your voice to be heard on high. Is this a fast that I have chosen? Just to afflict your soul and do all of these things, put sackcloth on your head, ashes over you and so forth. Is this the fast that I've chosen, acceptable day unto the Lord? Now, so the Lord is going to tell them a better way of fasting. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Now, so while we fast, there's some physical and spiritual application to this thing. When you fast, release you know, all the holes that you have on people, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, release them. You know, undo this thing. Let the oppressed go free, and so on and so forth. Break every yoke. You can do that physically, but there is a spiritual application to it as well. The spiritual application is that when you do the fasting the right way, it has the power to lose the bands of wickedness. It has power to undo heavy burdens. It has power to set the oppressed free. And it has power to break every yoke. And I've talked about these four horns before. You know, Zechariah talked about the horns and the carpenter. Number one horn, bands of wickedness. Number two, heavy burdens. Number three, oppression and oppressing spirits. And number four, all kinds of evil yokes. And the Lord said, well, during fasting, you can deal with these things. And Zechariah said, the Lord showed me these four horns. And he also showed me four carpenters that would deal with them. I call it the carpenter's anointing. Deal with these four horns. So, these things, when you combine prayer, I'll go into this in more detail later on because of time. When we combine prayer with fasting, you can break these four horns. In the book of Zechariah chapter 1, verse 18, then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And said to the angel that talked with me, what are these? And he answered me and said, well, these are the horns that have scattered Jerusalem, Judah, and Israel. And then the Lord showed me, see, the Lord always has an answer to every situation. The Lord also showed me four carpenters. I said, well, what are these four carpenters? What are they come to do? And he said, these horns that you saw at first, they are the ones that are battered down my people so that they will not lift up their heads. But now these carpenters are the ones that are coming to deal with those things that have battered down my people. Hallelujah. And Isaiah 58 is telling us that those four horns, bands of wickedness, you know, heavy burdens, oppression and oppressing spirits, and evil yokes. Well, it's a kind of fasting that can break those things. So, it is important for us to engage in a proper kind of fasting. And when you fast or stand praying, you forgive and do all these things that the Lord told us. Occasionally, we call on the people for fasting, even on these platforms. Joel said, sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and gather the people, sucklings, everybody. And you know, when you have real consecrated national fasting, it can even change the trajectory of the history of a people. Nineveh was going to be destroyed. But when they heard the preaching of Jonah, which at first they didn't want to, but when they virtually heard it, the king and everybody else put on sackcloth and began to cry unto the Lord. And the Lord changed that story. Instead of them being destroyed, they were spared. So, anytime we call for fasting, and there's one coming by the grace of God at the end of this month, quarterly consecration and a crossover to the second half. It'll be powerful stuff. Be looking for it. When you engage and you do it right, there is tremendous, tremendous power in it. I'm going to leave that there. I'm looking at the time now and I see I'm almost at the bottom there. So that's a long enough lesson for today. Let me leave it there. If there's more to say, I'll continue it some other time. But remember, in summary, we're on the topic of a life of prayer, a life of fasting, and a life of giving when we do it properly, you know. Just say one or two things, you know, about giving. I'm not talking about, giving to a minister only, because anytime when people talk about these things, Some people think that you're about to take up an offering. I'm not taking up any offering. I'm just saying what Jesus said. You know, talked about giving. You know, give. Luke chapter 6 verse 38. This is the verse that a lot of people quote when they want to take your money. But Jesus wasn't saying you give it to the pastor. He was just talking about giving in general. Give, and it shall also be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And nobody knows more about that than African women. Go to the market to buy grain. They try to deceive you. They make it look like it's a mountain, but it's nothing but fluff. So they know how to say, no, you got to press that down, shake it together again, press it down again, and fill it up, you know, and then finally run over. So that's what God is describing. But the secret to that, quite unlike people who like others to believe, you know, or like you to believe, and they want to take your money, is that all you have to do is bring a little something and God will multiply it tremendously. You know, well, that's not what Jesus is saying. He says it clearly here, and let's read it for ourselves. In the book of Luke chapter 6, you know, famous verse that we all read, you know, and it says that give and it shall be given unto you, right? Verse 38. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. If you stop there, which many people do, and you don't read the next part, then you have not got the full message. For, that means what he's saying now, or about to say, is connected to what he just said. For is a conjunction. Connect what I just said to what I'm about to say. If you do this way, then he said, well, the same measure, you know. So whereas people think you give $100 and you get 10,000, that's not what is being taught by Jesus here. Jesus said, the same measure that you meet shall be measured to you again. If you are a bountiful giver, God will also bountifully cause it to be given unto you, you know. But if you are a stingy person, you know, there is that holdeth more than his meat, you know, and that tendeth to poverty. But there is one that scattereth and yet gathereth. You know, if you know how to give, God will always, you know, make a way to get it to you. If you are a river, remember, there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the house of God. And there's also a lake that just takes in, gives nothing out. And if you are a lake, well, don't expect, you know, more and more and more to come. After a while, the thing stinks because there's no outflow. But if you are an outlet and an outflow, and if you know how to give, God will always get it to you because he knows you are going to give it away. If you can give it away, God will give it to you. That's right. So the more you press it down, the more you can. You yourself have to give good measure. You have to get good measure. If you give, you know, if you give a little measure, well, don't expect to give a little measure and then get good measure. So that is false teaching that people tell you in order, you know, to get money from you. But and if it works, then they themselves should practice the same thing. Anybody that tells you to give so that God will bless you, or give them, well, let them practice the same thing. Let them also give so that God can give to them. It's that simple. Practice what you preach. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 tells us that, look, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. In verse 6, he says, if you sow sparingly, you will also reap sparingly. You can't sow a little and then expect bountifully. No. You know, the same measure that you meet, the same shall be given unto you again. If you are a giver, you will never lack. It's that simple. You know, even when you seem to lack, God will cause men to give into your bosom. That's what Jesus is saying. Because you yourself, you are a giver. Now, if you are not a giver, you just want to take, take, take. Well, that's not going to work. That's not how we do it in the kingdom. You yourself be a giver. So we'll talk some more also about giving. We'll talk some more about fasting. I think we've said a lot about prayer today. You know, praise the Lord. Let us be a channel of blessing. A channel of blessing. You know, that's what we need to be. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25. If you're a channel of blessing, you yourself will always be blessed. The liberal soul, a channel of blessing, shall be made fat so that it can become even more liberal. The more he gives, the more he is giving. And he can give even more. You know, praise the Lord. And he that watereth shall also himself be watered. And these are principles that are already there. It's nothing to pray about. I don't need to pray that God should give me stuff because I'm giving it. It's already there. He will do it. But you can pray too. You can use the word of God and say, Lord, I've followed your precepts. And therefore, you know, this is what you said, and this is what I expect. It's always a good thing to repeat God's word back to him. But know for a surety that what principles are laid down in the word of God, they cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be broken. I'm going to leave this lesson here. It's been a long one already. Let me pray over the room and let's talk some more about it. There's still a lot to be said about this. If the Lord says so, maybe we'll continue tomorrow or whatever. So let me pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all that we have shared today. Elements of prayer, different kinds of prayer, short, long, fervent, travailing, wrestling, and prayer, and all these things. Even prophesying prayer, prophetic prayers, using your word to declare to a situation. We talk about many things. We talk about fasting. We talk about giving. We pray, Lord, that you illuminate our minds to understand these things and to practice them, not just to be hearers, but doers of the same. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.